Did I do that?
Welcome to TV or GTFO. I'm Sachin Hindu.
And I am Gary Heather.
And on this show, we review the first episode, the series premiere, and the series finale of a TV show.
Be it one season long or 15 seasons long, it doesn't matter. We completely ignore the middle part. We go from beginning to end, as crazy as a jump as that might be. And tonight we are, or today we are talking about one of my favorite shows from the 90s.
Mine too, actually. Well, the story is we originally intended to talk about a certain warrior princess, because of technical difficulties that didn't work. So we are going to talk about a prince instead.
Yeah, but do be aware, we will definitely come back to the crazy bad CGI that was Xena. But yes, we
absolutely, yeah.
we are gonna kick it. We're gonna go back to West Philadelphia, where he was born and raised, and we're gonna talk about Fresh Prince.
Absolutely, yeah. 1990 this premiered, and
yep.
It's very clear that this is from the 90s. From when you look at the fashion, just the even the titles.
I was gonna say the color palette of the pants.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all over the place here. The color palette of almost everything, really. It's
the pants, the hats, the shirts, like the curtains. It's very early 90s. Very 90s. I loved it. I mean, I remember. What do you remember about this show? Because I remember loving it at the time. I would sit down and watch every episode every Monday night. What about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it took a little bit longer for me to get into the show. I don't think maybe through the first season, about halfway through the first season, I kind of started to get into it. But I was hooked, and because it was in syndication, pretty heavily throughout the 90s, even after its run had ended. Like, I've seen every episode of this show. It's got to be at least three times each.
Yeah, and I think this is a first for me for the podcast. Is that I agree. Like, I feel like this is the first show, maybe besides Perfect Strangers a little bit, but no, even more so, this is the first one that we've talked about that I'm comfortable talking about it because I've seen everyone. I've seen all the ones in the middle, basically.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think it's there are some like pretty serious changes to the show from when you go from the beginning to the end. But weirdly enough, like by the time you get to the last episode here, they had almost erased a lot of the stuff that they did in the middle. Like, and so it almost does come full circle.
So they did it for 6 years, six seasons, 6 years. Almost 150 episodes.
Yeah, I think about 148 episodes is what I see. Here, or at least 148 episodes with Will Smith in them. So I assume that's everyone.
So right off the top, what I noticed and what I didn't remember was that there's the credit sequence, of course, the famous song credit sequence, and this is like an extended version of it. I didn't remember existed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did actually remember this because I gone back and seen this first episode way after it had aired, like after I had already been a fan of the show and had seen like the abbreviated version of these credits. And it was kind of surprising. Like it, like a lot of the other shows, it does give you the entire story of what's happened to him in the credits.
It's like 2.5 minutes long of an explanation of the setup. And I want to play back one of the lines, actually, if that's okay with you, from the extended opening credits, where his mom is like, yeah, you know, you gotta go. I don't want you to live here anymore. Fuck off. Go live on the West Coast. And then there's this line in the opening credits that he raps, that he sings, and I want you to just listen to it. Okay, I'm gonna play it for you right now.
All right.
I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. I said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, I might as well kick it.
He's 100% cool with just leaving his immediate and only family. Oh, well, might as well kick it.
Yeah, oh, well, might as well kick it. Yeah, he seems like not affected at all by this, at least in the credits. And I remember thinking, like, when it first aired, like, when they abbreviate it, they still use almost a lot of the or it's all footage from this sequence, and he's even wearing the same outfit that he's wearing in the first episode.
Yeah, I made a note of that. I made a note because in other shows we've watched, I've noticed that they've updated the credits by the end of the show itself. But this this aside from the just cutting it, I guess, for time or whatever, for just abbreviate it, they've not updated it whatsoever. So in 1996, he's wearing the same clothes that he wore in 1990.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, like, the credits are probably the most iconic thing about this show. Like, I mean, if you know anything about this show, you know the theme song, right? It's you may not know, you know, what happened in the show. You couldn't probably name a single episode that happened, but you know that theme song back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, you remember, like, certain aspects of the show, like the Carlton dance and, like...
Sure, yeah.
You know, all those, which we will definitely get to.
Uncle Phil throwing jazz out the door.
Oh, yeah, I made a note about that later on. Yeah, so he gets... So the first episode kicks off. He gets to Bel Air, and I feel like... immediately he's really obnoxious. He's like an obnoxious asshole.
Absolutely, yeah.
Getting to this place he's never been to before. He's not even inside the house. And even the way he knocks on the door, he's kind of like rap knocking.
Yeah.
He gets to do that. And it's in a super obnoxious, sort of jerky sort of rap knock.
Jeffrey shows up. So his first exposure to this family is through their butler, Jeffrey, who's obviously this English butler.
Yeah, you know what? And I noticed Jeffrey looked like super skinny back then. He was like this scrawny little dude in the first episode. And I only noticed that because I'm so used to watching the later episodes. But anyways, I don't know. I thought he looked a lot skinnier than I remembered.
I noticed that too. And I put down as a note, like, I think maybe when they did this pilot and they were kind of like feeling out what the show was going to be, his character, the character of the butler, was maybe probably the first that they thought, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, we're going to jettison this butler and run with just the family or something like that. Like, he was like a very expendable kind of side character to me.
And I think that even extends to a lot of other shows, not even only during that time, but even now, where they sort of take a lot of ideas and they don't know how it's going to play with audiences. So they throw a lot of ideas at the wall and they kind of see what's going to stick, right? Like Steve Urkel is like a perfect example
exactly,
of that, right?
Yeah.
I think Jeffrey was definitely a standout character, like later in the show, obviously. But yeah, they were all just forgettable, whatever. There's Ashley, who's the youngest daughter, and Hillary, who's a straight-up snob.
Like absolutely the least likable. I think she's the least likable character on this show.
I don't like her at all.
Yeah. No. Awful.
She comes in, and that's just it. That's the next scene. She comes in, and she's being all snobby, and she's like, "Daddy, I need $300." And I looked at it, and it was like, I mean, that was in 1990, but even that's not much more today. It's like still, it's about $500 today. And I was thinking to myself, and Uncle Phil, who's the father, was all like, "Oh, that's a lot of money." And I'm thinking, dude, you live in a mansion in Bel Air. $500 would not be a lot of money.
Yeah, you're clearly just throwing money around. But
yeah, no, I don't get it at all. So Will comes in, introduces. He gets introduced to everybody except for Carlton, which comes later.
Yeah. Oh, and I did notice that, like right off the bat, this kind of back to his conversation with Jeffrey, he makes a slavery joke like pretty much right away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because there's this whole, no, I don't want to say dispute, but they're like kind of going back and forth about him not wanting to be called Master William because as a butler, that's kind of what you do. You call them, you know, master or whatever. And he's just like, I think he says something like, it like takes me right back to the plantation or something like that. So it's like right away, we're getting into that.
Yeah. And something happens like pretty much, not something like that, but something pretty much soon or happens after that when Will meets Carlton for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Will is... So this is upstairs, and Carlton comes into Will's bedroom, and he meets him. And Carlton is wearing this, like, pink sweater wrapped around his neck. He's practicing his golf swing. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a bit heavy-handed on the commentary. But, like, even Will says something to say about, you know, how white he looks.
Yeah. He goes, like, I think...
I'm going to play that clip. You just have to... You have to hear that. I was going to play it for you.
People may not think we're twins, but I'll bet they think we're brothers. You know, I don't think you have to worry about anybody mistaking you for a brother.
Oh, it's like ice cold, man.
Yeah, it's, seriously. It's ice cold. Yeah, like some of the burns between Carlton and Will, like even in the last episode towards the end, like they're pretty like sick burns. Like they're kind of biting, like for how they go after each other.
And they continue right, presumably right to the fair, like the series finale as well.
Yeah,
and
they go after each other hard.
So everybody meets everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. Will comes in, he's so then Will's dancing in his room to what's it called, you know, that song Back to Life,
Back to Reality,
Soul to Soul. Yeah. Which is a great early 90s track.
I kind of wonder how much creative input Will Smith had on the show. Probably quite a bit, wouldn't you think, like they like in terms of the music and stuff that they use, and like even just like sort of the language that they were trying to get across. I don't know if that came from him, or if you know, it was very like focus grouped and like this is what, you know, 90s black kids sound like.
I read that in the first few episodes he was like, I mean, obviously Will Smith was hired to, not obviously, but people might not know this, but Will Smith was hired to do this or agreed to do this show because he owed the IRS like $2 million or something like that.
I didn't actually know that.
yeah, it's true. Yeah. He you know, because he was a musician or whatever, he had his music. He got into debt with the IRS for $2 million, and then the network NBC came to him and said, "Look, we want to, you know, make a show revolving around you." And so what actually happened for the first season was the IRS garnished 70% of his salary, his wages for the show itself, to pay back the IRS. And it's the only reason why he agreed to do it.
And I mean, I guess in hindsight, like that's, you know, it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to him too, right? Because like, that pretty much relaunched his career. Like he was a pretty fairly successful rapper, I guess, in the 80s. He had a few like pretty big hits and stuff, but I mean, this was his acting career, you know, right here. It after this, it was like A-list stuff almost right away.
Yeah, before this, he only acted in one thing, and it was a commercial or something like that. It was a commercial for detergent or T-shirts. I didn't write it down, but like he had no experience when he was coming into this. And yeah, I guess it was a pretty good decision. But back to the episode, what's her name? Ashley is all sad because she gets rejected from the choir at her school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
Will comes in, is all like, "Oh, I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna teach you." And what does he teach her? He doesn't teach her how to sing.
Yeah, you know, he teaches her how to rap, and the rap that she comes up with is like kind of it's kind of like about murdering the teacher, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It would straight up get her on a list or get her like expelled from a Bel Air prep school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, about murdering the teacher. Yeah.
I also noticed that you know, she makes him a welcome card when he comes in, and his name is spelled wrong. It's a four-letter word.
Seriously? I didn't notice that.
It's spelled W-I-L, like Will Wheaton. So,
oh my God.
I don't know.
So, getting back to that, when he was talking to Carlton and making fun of how white he looked, there's this quick, super-like shot of him looking into the mirror. No, Carlton's like, we're gonna look the same, and he makes fun of him, obviously. Yeah. for looking white or dressing white, I guess, in air quotes. And then Carlton leaves, and then he looks at himself. Will looks at himself in the mirror, and he's wearing the same
outfit. And he screams. And he does this like dramatic scream. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like a little girl.
So because of that, because he doesn't want to look like Carlton, he's given this tuxedo to wear because Uncle Phil is having a party, like a big, like, froofy party. And he's given a tuxedo to wear. And the way he wears this tuxedo is, like, he pulls the cummerbund up so that it's like a bra. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that at least he's, like, he's still wearing, like, the suit jacket. And he still has a bow tie, but the bow tie's not around his shirt because he's wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of wrapped around his neck. But then he's like, nah, man. And he's wearing his, like, neon green hat.
Yeah.
right?
Like, it's not even that he's trying to make this outfit hip. It's just that he's just wearing it wrong, like in a ridiculous. It's like how you'd expect Balky to wear it.
This is a complete throwback to how Balky would have worn a suit if he had never seen a suit
right.
before in his life. He picked and chose from the various like items, I guess, that Jeffrey laid on his bed,
yeah.
and he made some poor choices right
yeah.
there. So they're down at the party. So he comes down to the party, and of course, yeah. Uncle Phil's like gassed. Yeah. He's like, "Oh my god, Will, here!"
His monocle falls off.
Yeah, exactly. Monocle. He should have had a fucking yeah. monocle, man.
Seriously.
But and Hillary's down there, and of course, Hillary is the snobby one that we talked yeah. about earlier, and she has this conversation about this old lady about like.
Air pollution. So, like, her pet cause du jour is, like, air pollution. And at the beginning, when you first are introduced to her, she's talking about how she and all these celebrities are going to be driving around L.A. in a truck and go to, like, different protests or something like that and then have a bonfire. And Will kind of rightly points out that that's, you know, like, for an air pollution thing, like, driving around in a car and then burning a bunch of stuff is pretty bad. Bad for the air. And so then
but
she
does speak to her character.
And then she kind of calls back to this when she's at the party, and she's talking about like how you know, air pollution and the environment is such like a pet cause for her. It's so important to her. And the lady is kind of impressed. This hoity-toity lady is really impressed with her you know, this activism. And she asks where to send the check, and Hillary doesn't know.
So. I feel like everybody at this party needs monocles. Like, everybody needs
yeah.
a monocle,
yeah.
except for
Absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, he gets introduced to this old white guy. Sorry, old guy, because everybody's there is white,
yeah.
except for, you know. He gets introduced to this old guy, and the old guy puts his hand out to shake it, and Will just slaps it like really hard.
It's like this person has never experienced anything in society before. Like, not even watched TV and seen how, like, normal people act.
Like a basic handshake. Or, you know what I mean? Just a basic of holding someone. Just, like, just doesn't, like, high-five him. Just really, like, hits him. Like, slaps his
yeah.
hand. Anyway, so, and then to continue along with that, they're at the dinner table later
yeah.
on.
And
Will, like, starts, like, and there's glassware, of course, because it's a fancy-ass house. And so they got, like, 9 glasses for water
yep.
and 15 forks. And Will starts, you know, with one of the forks clinking the glassware, and he starts playing this like sick jam,
yeah.
and he like gives him like a sick beat.
Yeah, they kind of establish here that he's like a really talented musician, and he's, you know, somehow doing this with the glasses, which is pretty good.
And that comes back later in the end of this episode, which we'll get to. But like,
so they're asked to say grace, and what happens?
Yes.
But Ashley is called upon to say grace, and she raps the grace, and I really think you should maybe hear the grace because it's.
I think it's time
good.
To say grace, Sachin. I think it's time to say grace. Let's play Ashley singing, or sorry, rapping grace. Here you go.
Hey there, Lord. My name is Ashley Banks. My family and friends want to give you some thanks. So before this dinner's all swollen and chewed, thank you, God, for this stupid food.
Yeah, what's funny about it is that I've always felt like Will Smith's, even now, like Will Smith's raps are very like, very basic, like G-rated,
mm-hmm.
like shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just someone like, and then I went to the store.
Yeah,
and it was a bore. You know what I mean?
To be fair, that's like how 80s rap kind of sounded. It was very sort of conversational
yeah.
like that. But his style never really evolved past that at all.
Everybody else's, everybody, you know, most people's style would have evolved, and society and rap as a whole has generally evolved in that sense, but his just remained the same.
Especially by 1990, even, you know, like just after that, like this is now when NWA is showing up, and, you know, like gangster rap is starting to become a thing, Public Enemy and that kind of stuff, and this is like the most sanitized kind of like children's rap. It's almost children's rap.
Yeah, so that's the end of that scene, and the party, I guess, just ends or whatever, because nothing happens after that, because it's later. It all of a sudden cuts to later on.
Yeah. Everybody's gone, and
and Phil comes in. He's all pissed. Uncle
yeah.
Phil's all pissed,
and like genuinely super pissed. And this is like, you know, Uncle Phil is pretty frightening when he's angry, I have to say.
Oh, he's a very imposing figure.
Yeah,
or he was a very imposing figure. Rest in peace, Uncle
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, rest in peace, James Avery. Yeah,
rest in peace, James Avery. You know where? You know, on Queen Street. You ever been to that place on Queen Street in Toronto with the picture of Uncle Phil?
Yeah, yeah.
It was because the proprietors of that shop were like relatives-in-law, I guess. It's a bunch of Chinese people that run that shop or whatever, and they had this picture of James Avery, and one day I went in there, and I was like, why you got a picture of Uncle Phil? And they're like, oh, yeah, he married our sister or something like that. What I mean? Like, it was related to somebody in this. Anyways, that's a stupid little anecdote that nobody...
I think Ashley, Tatiana Ali, has some kind of connection here, too, because I'm pretty sure that she's from Trinidad or something, and she's like maybe like one of our distant relatives.
What? Well, it's funny because I read actually like three or four of the cast members have Trinidadian descent or like family or relation or something like that.
Yeah.
Three of them actually do.
Yeah, Jeffrey certainly does.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, I went off on a tangent, but he comes in, he's all imposing, he's all like, you fucked up my shit. You've been a one-man wrecking crew. And I'm like, why is he – why? He's wearing slightly different clothes, or he's teaching Ashley this like white-ass sounding rap? Like, yeah. I don't –
Like, I mean, he's annoying for sure. Like, let's not get it twisted. He's annoying as fuck. But to say that he's, you know, like is this one-man wrecking crew that he's destroying the family and stuff is a slight overreaction, I think.
Absolutely. And then Will comes back at him and he's like, you soft, because you're forgetting where you came from, because you live in Bel Air.
And I find
that funny, because what Phil says, he's like, I'm from the streets, bitch.
Yeah, basically, because, you know, like this whole thing, like Will has this poster of Malcolm X on the wall. His idol is Malcolm X. And he goes, you know, Uncle Phil goes, so your idol is Malcolm X, you know, you don't know anything about Malcolm X. I saw Malcolm X speak, you know, and I, you know, took his lessons to heart, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like that particular point, and I made a note of this, was that that's just a matter of convenience, of being alive at the same time that Malcolm X was speaking.
True.
Like, all right, yeah, you went to see Malcolm. Okay, cool. You were alive then, old dude. Like, I mean, I get it. That's fine. But and then Will's like, oh, wow, you heard Malcolm X speak. I'm going to shut up. And then he's like, I'm going to bed. I'm going to deal with you in the morning.
Yeah. And so Phil kind of like shuffles off and Will is kind of sitting there at the piano. And you see him just play this like really good rendition of Fur Elise.
That's right. And you see Phil kind of pop his head back in the room, and obviously Will's not looking, but we as the audience can see that what Phil's thinking, and it's like, oh man, maybe he's not such a shithead after all. Maybe there's hope for this kid from the streets.
Maybe there's something to it.
And what I feel like then is that that's where the episode should have ended, but it didn't.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It goes on a little more, and Will goes up, and now having had a change of heart, he goes up to Ashley and is, you know, he starts giving her this heart-to-heart about listening to her father, doing what her father says, and that kind of stuff. Did you notice that there's, what, like three heart-to-heart kind of moments in this show? Like two or three, at least? And whereas, like, a show like Full House or Perfect Strangers or one of those shows, like, it would have one at the end, and that would be about it. But this one, it kind of, he has a bunch of little talks with, like, serious moments in the show.
Yeah, and because I don't remember them that well, and we didn't go back and look at them, I wonder how much that continued throughout the series. I mean, I don't, maybe it didn't, but maybe they were just, again, they were just throwing stuff out and just being like,
could be,
no, we're not going to have one heart-to-heart, we're going to have three heart-to-hearts, and then we're really going to tug the audience's heartstrings and bring them back to watch next week and the next, you know what I mean? Like, really hook people right away. I don't know. Like, no, but I totally noticed that. Like, when Ashley is dancing in a room and she straight up stole Will's Walkman.
Yeah.
and she's like, I don't know, I don't get to listen to music because Uncle Phil is a dick and he only wants me to listen to Care Bears.
What was his justification for not having, it was that he just doesn't like music other than Care Bears? Something?
Or yeah. Uncle Phil does not like music other than Care Bears. He doesn't like Belle Biv DeVoe. Yeah. He doesn't like De La Soul. He does not like Guns N' Roses or any of the other bands or groups that are around. Only the Care Bears. I guess the Care Bears theme? I mean, is there a Care Bears album?
I don't know. I think the point that they were trying to make was that, you know, he's just trying to keep Ashley, like, super sheltered and everything. And now, like, the cat... the genie's out of the bottle with Ashley now that Will is here.
And then the way this episode wraps up is literally Ashley taking him around the house, showing him the how many bathrooms they have,
yeah,
and like listening in to who's using each of the bathrooms.
Yeah, like so they go up to one, and I guess Carlton is singing in the shower with this like falsetto kind of voice.
Yeah.
And then they go up to Hillary's bathroom, and Hillary's taking off her makeup or something, and they pretend to go away, and Hillary comes out wearing like a face mask kind of thing, like one of those makeup masks, and they jump out, and Will goes, "I knew it," but there's no reference to what he knew.
No. And then it ends.
I don't know what it was. Like, what was that? What, that's not even a joke. It's barely even half a joke.
After the part where Will was playing the piano, everything that we've just talked about was just filler. And I'm like, how do you have filler for your pilot, like your opener? You know what I mean? Like your
series
opener. In a
30-minute episode, why do you need to fill that out with you know, like a full third of the show is the credits where they're explaining how the show came to be.
Exactly. And at that point I was like, oh my God, that's just terrible. Anyways, and then I obviously it ended like immediately.
Yeah,
after
immediately.
That.
Yeah.
They were done.
Kind of refreshing to watch a show that didn't have like an hour and a half season premiere.
Oh my God, yes. That's exactly. We should totally do more of these. All right, so now let's travel through time. 6 years later.
To the final episode, which actually is two parts.
TBRGTFO.
6 years later, and oh, how things have changed. And we find out right away. So it's Phil's... this episode starts where it's Phil's 50th birthday.
Yes.
So he walks into the house. No one's around. He's calling for everybody. You might notice that he's calling an extra name now. Nikki.
Yeah, who the fuck is Nikki? Who's Nikki?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Who knows who that is? So he calls for everybody, even Will, and not finding anybody at home, he puts on some music, starts dancing around, and so he walks into the kitchen, and surprise, it's, you know, everybody's there.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm watching him dance, I'm like, oh, is anybody going to show up unexpectedly? It's like, it's such a trope, right? Like, oh.
Yeah, and what you notice right away is that Aunt Viv is a new Aunt Viv.
Oh, they got rid of that chick.
They got rid of Janet Hubert.
I read about her, and an early, because she was in it for the first three seasons or something like that, right?
Yeah, IMDb says it's 74 episodes, so it's like literally the exact halfway point of the show. She was gone. So 93. 93, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but yeah. I read a quote from Uncle Phil, sorry, James Avery, and he was like, he said a quote in an interview once, and he was like, yeah, we're all like a big family on set, except for my wife Vivian.
Really?
The actress is kind of a bitch. Yeah, like he didn't, not verbatim,
he straight up said it.
he was straight up like, yeah, she's horrible to work with, she doesn't like anybody, she's kind of a bitch, she wants to change all the storylines. And there was one time where in the interview he said that he had to tell her that, you know, it's called the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, not the Uncle Phil and Aunt Vivian of Bel-Air, because she wanted more of a screen presence or whatever. So they got rid of her.
Yeah.
And they got in somebody who looked completely different.
So it looks completely different, acts completely different. It might as well be a completely different character. I don't know why they didn't just, you know, retcon this to Aunt Viv died, because, I mean, it's... they're nothing alike. They don't act the same. And after having watched these two episodes, like, or actually having watched the whole series, which do you prefer personally? Like, do you like Aunt Viv classic or new Aunt Viv?
You know, I like them both for different reasons. I like the original Aunt Viv because she was like this kind of like, and I like the new one because she's more like the Claire Huxtable Aunt Viv.
True, yeah. This one is, she definitely was channeling Claire Huxtable, this new new Aunt Viv. But I kind of like the sassiness of original Aunt Viv, which apparently was a real life sassiness that got her kicked off the show.
It translated to the screen, but eventually, you know, resulted in her demise from the show itself.
Yeah.
So they're there. It's just it's 50th. Obviously, it's about his 50th birthday party.
Yeah. And as many shows have done, so Nikki turns out to be the quintessential precocious kid that's added to the show to kind of freshen it up, so to speak. In middle to the late in its run. Full House obviously added like 100 kids, as far as I can tell. And in keeping with the theme of our show, I didn't look up where Nikki came from or anything like that. All I know is that he wasn't there, and now he is.
So, I thought he might have been A, either adopted, B, Hillary's kid, or C, Will's, like, kid from a mom who then either went to join the military or died.
Well, I do remember that there was a storyline where Carlton had a kid, right? And,
yeah.
A girl showed up saying that, Carlton had, and it was Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell.
That's right.
Had showed up and like claimed that he had a kid with her, and he was like, but we never slept together kind of thing. And there was like a big controversy. They almost got married, I believe. And yep. I wasn't sure if this is the kid from that storyline or if for some other reason. But I do see that his credit on the show starts in 94. So, you know, they made a lot of changes to this show, like, right around that period, because Aunt Viv showed up, the new Aunt Viv showed up in 93, and now they've added this kid, so...
Well, I heard that, I read that, because it was 6 seasons, but I read that they had planned to, they thought they were canceled at the end of season 4, but then there was a big sort of pushback from station managers, because the show was in syndication at that point, and it was a really big moneymaker for them. So station managers, NBC affiliates, pushed back and said, no, we want more, we want more. So they extended it for two, because of that sort of pushback, they extended it for 2 more seasons. And so they thought they were ending it at season 4, they thought it was going to be over at season 5, and then obviously season 6, you know, it was confirmed everybody was done and they wrapped it up or anything like that. But no, that's interesting, because they brought this kid in, obviously, to spice it up, or maybe because they were like, well, who gives a fuck? Let's just bring whoever we, you know. They don't care. They don't even care.
Yeah.
But so they're all in there, and everybody's, at this point, everybody's got plans to move on with their lives. Like the girls, Hillary and Ashley are moving to New York.
Yep. Hillary's now got a talk show. She's kind of a well-known sort of Oprah, maybe not to the point of, you know, to the level of Oprah, but at least Sally Jesse Raphael or something, one of those talk shows. And Ashley's going to move with her to New York, and they're going to live together.
Yeah, they're going to live together. Carlton's going to Princeton, which is also on the East Coast. The new kid, the little kid's going into kindergarten, whoop-de-doo, I don't care, I don't know this kid at all.
I literally have that in my notes, like, who knows who this kid is. And Jeffrey reveals that he's going back to England to be with his son, ? Where did this son come from?
That was another, everybody got revealed to have a son or a daughter or an illegitimate child at some point, because he's going back to London, and that's his next move. But Will's got nothing going on.
He's got another year of college, apparently, and is still living in the pool house where he had been living with Carlton for the past couple seasons, as far as I know. And because everybody else is leaving, Phil and Vivian decide, hey, why do we need to hold on to this house? And they decide they're going to sell the house. And this is like the kind of the arc over these two episodes.
And again, I got to say it, and it pains me to say it again, Sachin, that this is another show that extended over 2 episodes when it could have been 1.
This barely had enough material for half an episode, much less 2. It was just nothing happens in these 2 episodes. I was watching it in disbelief, like how little actually was going on.
That's just it. People, I mean, I get it. You want to lip service the fans a little bit. People, you know, all the characters need to break off and say goodbye to one another and have their special moments, but that didn't even fill up. Like,
there was plenty of time to do that in 1 episode.
Absolutely. I mean, Jazz, let's talk about Jazz for a moment. Jazz shows up.
Yeah.
And
Jazz shows up.
The audience like cheers and like vomits all over each other, like with how happy they are to see Jazz in the finale. And of course,
well, I mean, he's kind of like in the vein of lots of these kind of annoying characters that just kind of bust in. He's Urkel. He's Kramer. He's Kimmy Gibbler. He's, they kind of like typecast him into this role. And I mean, he did it fine. Like he'd come in almost every episode, he'd bust in, make a joke about Uncle Phil, and get chucked out the door.
That's just it, and that brings me to my point, was that most episodes that Jazz was in, he would get tossed out of the door, physically abused, yeah. What I read about that was that because that was technically a location shoot, because obviously the house is on a set, right, and whatever, you have control, but because that was technically a location shot of him, literally just a shot of him flying at the door, they only filmed that once.
Really? Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense, because I remember watching the show, and it was like this. It was clearly the same shot.
They filmed it once except for a few times where, you know, it served the plot or it served his outfit. So what I read was that they filmed it once, and then every episode that he actually gets thrown out, they had him wear the same shirt in the house.
Oh, that makes sense. Sort
of just for continuity, and I was like, oh my god, I did not realize that in the 90s. Growing up, that's what they did, and apparently that's what they did, and obviously they throw him out. Sorry, Phil physically abuses him by throwing him onto concrete steps.
Onto concrete every single time.
And you know,
and like the two big kind of like jokes, that the recurring jokes in this episode are, you know, they're busting on Uncle Phil's age. Yep. And they're busting on Will's shiftlessness, I guess, that he's not going anywhere. Oh, and they just beat these two things to death. Just, like, jokes about his age and that kind of stuff. It's crazy. And even Jazz goes, like, hey, maybe don't throw me out. It'll be bad for your back.
And you're totally right. They just keep ragging on the same thing. And like the point we touched on before about it could have fit into one episode. I kind of feel like most of these characters have not learned or grown as characters. Like, Carlton still comes in and berates, like, Jeeves Jeffrey for not doing his dry cleaning. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And same with Hillary. Oh, God, Hillary hasn't changed one bit.
Horrible.
Ashley has no real defining characteristics as a character. I mean, she's grown, certainly, but hasn't...
Like, physically grown, because she's gotten older.
Physically grown, yeah. Not you know, emotionally grown or anything that I can see. She's still kind of the second youngest kid.
Yeah.
And she and Hillary are kind of, like, just bickering back and forth, and it's, you know, she still idolizes Will and all that stuff, but, yeah, like, these characters are all the exact same... Except for Aunt Viv.
It's a completely different person. But that's just it. And it's disappointing in a way, because they didn't learn anything. I don't feel like they... And maybe we didn't see... Or, you know what? No, I don't feel like that. If they learned lessons throughout the six seasons, it doesn't matter, because it's not reflective of their behavior or their character traits now, right? Like,
exactly. Like, watching it this way, watching the first episode and then watching the last episodes, it's almost seamless. Mm-hmm. Like, even the wardrobe hasn't changed a terrible amount. Carlton still dresses like you'd expect Carlton to dress, and same with Will, and, you know, Uncle Phil is still wearing the same clothes. There's no real sense that 6 years have gone by.
And the 90s was a really, like, it was a decade of change. Like, I mean, and shit that happened in 1990, 1991 was light years different from 1995 or 1996, right?
Absolutely.
These people living in a rich-ass Bel Air bubble and just haven't learned at all, mm-hmm. learned anything.
Well, you would almost think that they would be more, like, especially in terms of wardrobe, like, they would be more, like, fashion conscious. They have more money to throw around. They'd be more, you know, fashionable kind of people. But they look the exact same.
Yeah, that's just it. Anyway, so Will and Carlton live in the pool house. Will lies.
Yeah.
And says, I found an apartment. Man, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. So they're all bagging on him about not going anywhere, and he, you know, feels bad about it. So he goes, I found an apartment. It's like the lowest stakes, like, nothing happening storyline for a series finale. It's a stupid, like, something that you would expect on the first episode of, like, a Full House.
Yep.
Or something like that. Like, it's one kid lies about something, and then it's, you know, all these, you know, hilarity ensues until they come clean.
Or a storyline that could appear anywhere in the series, really. Like, a forgettable...
Yeah.
Because obviously there's forgettable episodes and there's memorable episodes, but this just seems like... I mean, Will goes and he actually searches for apartments, and at one point he goes to this apartment, this sick apartment, and he's like, it's super nice, and this dude that's clearly gay... lives there, right?
Yeah.
And then Will's like, oh, so when are you moving out? I love it. I'm going to take it. And the guy sits on the couch. He's like, oh, I'm not moving out, darling. And they cut the scene there. And so the implication is that the guy expects, like, gay sex from Will.
Yeah.
And that's why Will won't accept the apartment. And I'm like thinking, even in that period of time, that's a ridiculous implication, right? Like,
yeah, that's pretty bad. But, I mean, at the same time, more accepted at that time than it is now.
True.
But, I mean, for somebody who, you know, like you would think would be a little more progressive or especially a show that's a little more progressive. You know, I mean, this is a show that, you know, the first episode, they're talking about Malcolm X. Like, it's... you know, you'd think that they would know a little bit better, or maybe not have to go to that, like, easy, like, kind of homophobic well.
Maybe they weren't there. But maybe they weren't there in 1996, and we have these, like, rose-colored glasses of that. But anyways, so he does that. He's looking for a place. He doesn't find a place, obviously, because the dude that wants to have sex with him and the woman that's crazy, he sees another apartment.
Yeah, he sees another woman who's, like, clearly talking. She's talking. It sounds like she's talking to somebody else. And then they make a point that she goes, oh, no, I'm here by myself. And he literally runs away.
Right. And that brings us back to the end of this first of two parts where Will's like, Uncle Phil and Viv are like, we're going to sell the house. And then if you think about it, they said they're going to sell the house and move to the East Coast. Now Hillary's and Ashley are going to live on the East Coast. Carlton's going to go to Princeton. Yeah. But fuck Will, because as far as they know at that point, they don't know he hasn't found an apartment. As far as they know, Will found a local apartment and he's still going to school there. And they're all super celebrating and happy, even though you know, Will's going to be the only one not kind of joining them in their minds, you know, on the East Coast. They're like, fuck Will Smith, we don't care, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Just it. And then the episode ends.
Yeah. So as we pick up the second episode, unnecessary episode,
completely unnecessary.
Will, like, almost right away comes clean to Carlton that he doesn't have an apartment.
That's right.
Carlton starts off, like, kind of bagging on him that, you know, like, he wasted his time or Will had wasted his time during school and stuff. And Carlton had actually worked, like, done his work and gotten into Princeton and everything. And Will had done nothing, basically.
So much ragging.
So much ragging it over and over and over again. And so Will comes clean to Carlton that he doesn't have an apartment, that he felt bad about, everybody else moving on and stuff. And Carlton is like, well, why don't you just ask Uncle Phil, to, you know, help you get an apartment. You know, it's the literal easiest resolution to this story, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he was ragging on him the entire time, like the whole first episode, like just ripping
the whole
into
first
him.
Episode.
And that's just it. Like he ragged on him for so long, and then as soon as he tells him, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You should just move with us. You know, follow the money, dude. Come live in our...
Does he say that?
No. He doesn't. Otherwise, I would play that clip if he said that. But in my mind, he was like, oh, don't worry, Will. Just fuck off. Just like, you could go to a school on the East Coast and live with, I don't know, one of your many rich family members.
Many relatives? How about your mom?
Yeah.
Your mom's in Philadelphia.
Does he even still have, like, his mom? Like, I don't know. I assume he does.
I don't remember them killing her off. I feel like they would.
No. She still
would have acknowledged
she must
that somehow.
Still live in, like, West Philadelphia, where he was born and raised.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're down in the kitchen, and Jeffrey is hanging out. And he's about to show the house to the mansion to potential buyers. And Will's like, no, fuck off. I'll handle it.
No, let me do that.
And even Jeffrey's like, yeah, I know where this is going.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, it's so telegraphed. Like, his plan is to make the house so unmarketable that, what, they're just not going to move? I don't know. It's so dumb. Like, Will, he's a grown-ass man. They say he's going to graduate college next year. Like, he's so stupid.
What I wrote down there at that point in this episode was, like, this shit is the most predictable I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But then...
This episode goes from worthless to the greatest in one scene.
And I'm not going to say what it is. I'm going to play you the clip, man. I'm going to play... Satcha, I'm going to play the clip.
All right.
All you need to do is listen to this clip. Here we go.
Hey, I'm Will Smith. I'm the realtor.
What you talking about, Will?
What you talking about, Will? Like, I kind of feel like maybe when they were spitballing ideas in the very first episode of Fresh Prince, maybe somebody had on a napkin or something, hey, let's get Gary Coleman in here to say what you talking about, Will. And it took 6 years for them to make it
like,
happen.
Like, what kind of finale is it that you have, like, these random guest appearances from shows that have already, like, come and gone or are established? You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to promote your own show. You don't need to promote these other shows. Like, I was like, oh, we're going to time fill. Who are you friends with, Will? Oh, I know. Or Quincy Jones. Who are you friends with? Oh, I'm friends with George and Wheezy. Because George and Wheezy shows up after
They're the next ones to come in to buy the house, and they actually end up being the successful bidders on the house.
Yeah, George and Wheezy are, you know, they come in, and they're like, and then what happens next?
By the way, Sherman Helmsley of the Jeffersons brings the death count of the show up to 3.
Ooh.
Because Uncle Phil has passed away.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil. Rest in peace, Gary Coleman.
Rest in peace, Gary Coleman. Yeah, that's right.
And rest in peace, Sherman Helmsley. So, you know, that's the three cast members in this episode.
Like,
have
I was
passed
hoping,
on.
And it's funny. Like, sorry, that's not funny. But what's funny is that they bring in Gary Coleman and his white dad. They bring in George and Wheezy, and I was hoping there'd be a third. I was hoping it would be straight up Vanilla Ice. Or like somebody from that time period.
I was expecting Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby,
you know,
oh my God.
And Claire Huxtable, you know, like that. That's the trifecta, isn't it? Or Webster, maybe.
Webster would have done it.
Yeah, but I guess you can't really have Webster and Gary Coleman in the same place.
No,
I don't think.
I think that's like
it would just like I think the universe would just collapse.
That's like that scene in Time Cop where Van Damme had to touch Van Damme.
It's just it would just never work.
But no, the Jeffersons show up and they decide to buy the house. Like you said, they decide they want to buy the house.
Yeah,
but
after
there's a caveat.
Yeah, so
it has no basis in any sort of reality, which is that we got to be out in a week. We want to buy this house, but we want to move in 7 days.
In 7 days, but you know the explanation for it is that he wants to get in before Memorial Day because that's when you know the neighbors get naked or something. I think is what Will kind of sells it to him. And, like,
when Will was trying to downplay the house, I guess to Wheezy, kept saying Wheezy. He was like, "Yeah, is that what happened?" He was like, "Yeah, they get all naked." Oh no! He was just upselling it to George.
Yeah, that's right. No, right. Well, he was downselling it, like knowing that Wheezy would be like, "No, I don't want my husband living next to this naked, you know, playmate party or whatever it is." And somehow that turns into them buying the house. So.
I think it's a weird plot connection. Like, I think it's just like a weird plot, a beat, I guess. It's a weird beat where it's like George and Wheezy leave the house and are like, we're not going to buy this because, you know, the naked ladies. And George is like, okay, whatever. And then they get a phone call in the next scene saying, yeah, George and Wheezy just bought your mansion. You know what I mean? Like, there was no, I feel like there was a lot missing between that or.
Yeah, a whole scene or anything. But I really think that's, you know, it was in service of the joke for them to call back to, they're like, the house has to close before Memorial Day. And that's the day that Will had told them that, you know, everybody gets naked.
So we jump forward 6 days and somehow they managed to empty the entire multi-room mansion of
it's
all
cleared
of its
out.
Goods. Completely.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, and at this point, people still don't know that Will doesn't have a place to live.
Yeah, and it was just like
one day before everybody leaves.
You have two episodes here, you just skip over 6 days of potential, like, what could have happened in those 6 days?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like, there's a weird, like, it's almost, like, counterintuitive the way that they've written this episode. It's like they both had too much material and not enough.
I feel like a smart writer could have come in and said, give me your, like, 100 pages of ideas, and then been like, this is how it's going to work, beat, beat, beat. And maybe it'll be a bit longer than your 22-minute standard episode, but at least it's going to be, you know, concise and good and everything. Because then at this point, everybody wants to see Will's apartment, and he's sort of forced to confess that he doesn't have an apartment. And the next part is my favorite part of this in terms of, and in regards to, like, condensing the story. Uncle Phil's like, I don't like that you lied to me. I'm super pissed, but it's okay. Will's like, oh, I feel bad. Everyone was doing shit. Now all of a sudden, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then Uncle Phil's like, I understand. Let's go get you an apartment in a day.
It's just in a day. Like, what is this? Like, it's just, they took all this time. They took an episode and a half. Yep. To set up the storyline, and it's resolved in a single line. Let's just go get you an apartment. That's it. So,
and not even a scene to show them looking at apartments or getting an apartment.
No.
Because it jumps ahead, and we are, as the audience, to assume that they found an apartment, because you jump right into the pool house and Carlton and Will are packing their stuff. So they got they got an apartment. Somehow.
So,
immediately.
Yeah, we don't know where the apartment is, what kind of, well, whatever, it's not important, I suppose.
Nope.
Will and Carlton have this kind of sappy goodbye scene where they kind of reveal that they've sort of learned stuff from each other, punctuated by Carlton doing the dance, an extended version of the Carlton dance.
You know, I read about the Carlton dance. Apparently it was inspired... the actor who played Carlton was inspired by Monica from, remember, you know, Monica from Friends.
Yeah,
she was
her
Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, that's right. In the Bruce Springsteen video, she did
it totally
that,
is that
she
dance.
Did it. and he said it was a combination of that and something else.
it's the quintessential like white person dance, I suppose.
That's what sucks about a podcast sometimes, is that you can't show video, but like obviously people know the famous Carlton.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Look it up. Google Carlton dance. It'll be your first hit, I'm sure. I don't even have to Google it to know that. It'll be your first hit, and you know, you just bask in the glory of the Carlton dance.
And that's just it. That's the end of the show. I mean, everybody says
that's
hugs,
the end of the show. Yeah,
says goodbye and fuck off, and they leave. And that's the end of the show.
Yeah,
forever.
It seemed like they were in a hurry to just leave, like just to wrap it up. There's really nothing to it.
The pacing of these two. Like, you know, I mean, it was two episodes, 45 minutes or whatever together, right? With, you know, without commercials. The pacing was just like, it jumped ahead of things that you should have addressed, and it dwelled on shit you don't even care about, like...
But like you said, I mean, it's hard to do anything when no character has experienced any sort of growth, even though they actually do pay lip service to that. Like, because Will goes, oh, I'm still the same... kid that rolled in here, and I'm thinking, yes, you are.
Yes, and, he literally
and Phil is,
yeah.
like, Phil is like, no, you've grown as a man. You're on the verge of realizing this potential and stuff. And I'm not seeing it. I don't see any of it.
What potential? What's he gonna? What potential?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's exact same.
That's just it. So let me ask you something, Sachin.
Mm-hmm.
After watching it again, compared to your sort of memory of it, how would you sort of? How would you rate it? Would it be something that would air now or get greenlit now, or how would you compare it to your memory of it, to how you watched it?
I remember this show being a lot better, and I think maybe just these two episodes are an anomaly for some reason. Like, you would expect the last episode to kind of encapsulate the show and be, you know, maybe one of the better episodes of it. But I know for sure that there are better episodes in the middle of this run. Like, there's some really good... episodes here. There's one where like Carlton gets addicted to speed or something like that, and there's another one where they Will experiences some like racial violence from the police and that kind of stuff. I think maybe dovetailing with Rodney King and the LA riots and stuff, where they reference that. Like they dealt with some serious stuff, and like there were some really good episodes in the middle of here, but neither of these two episodes are very good at all.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. Because I do remember the show. There was a super heartfelt episode where his dad, Will Smith's dad, comes back, like his absolute dad, and he kind of, you know, confides in Uncle Phil, and Uncle Phil's
like a grifter or something, right?
I'm your dad. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm your dad. I'm gonna take care of him. And it was super. Like it certainly had its. From what I remember, it had its moments, right? But I feel like. Yeah, I don't know. I want to come across the show eventually that I'm like, this holds up. This totally holds up.
Yeah, I would totally watch this now. But and I really was pulling for this one. I thought this was going to be, you know, something more. And I don't remember. Maybe this is a reason why I don't remember this finale at all. Really, it's just or I don't remember it being the finale, because it ends on such like a wet fart.
Okay, so. To round it off, to top it off, is there a memory or a scene that you have from the show, not just the first or last episode, that sticks out to you as being amazing that I should play the clip from, that we should go out on?
I think if you can find the scene where, and I'll have to find you the episode number later, but the scene where in that episode where Carlton goes on drugs, and Carlton on drugs is awesome.
Okay, so to end this episode of TV or GTFO, let's go out on a high note with Carlton being high as fuck on whatever drug he was on. I am Gary Heather.
And I'm Sachin Hingu.
And this is TV or GTFO. Here's Carlton enjoying his drug-fueled mayhem.
Smell you later.
Carlton, you were somebody else, man. You all right? Wow, you're great. Even though I was feeling insecure before, but then I realized it doesn't matter anyway because beauty is skin deep. And it's who's inside that counts. And Vanessa, you drive me wild. I hope this night never ends. Is it just me or my lips move really, really fast? Can we dance? Come on.
TV or GTFO.